mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Welcome back, everyone, to Three Dads Talking About Anime. I am your host, Chess, aka Chest, and who else is with me tonight?
I got good.
Who else is with me tonight, Cole? Go ahead again.
I'm not saying again.
Oh, fine.
And I'm Ben.
Man, your shenanigans rarely put me over the top. But you broke the facade tonight. I could not.
You brought it tonight.
You did. It was just so.
What did that sound like? Was that like a bird?
It sounded like a bird and a cat mixed into a Muppet character.
Oh. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't
any
a bad
Muppet,
sound.
Any Muppet comparison is high praise, in my opinion.
Muppets are classic, man. Muppets are classic.
Yep, agreed.
How y'all been? It's been a week, finally. Week-to-week recording. Look at that.
Right. It is
y'all
nice.
Y'all do stuff?
Get back into that. Well, live updates, I guess, because last week I talked about the Wilkersons visiting, and visited.
Oh, good. Yeah. Follow through. Love that.
Did you get in your pool?
We did.
It was y'all have a pool?
So cold. Yeah, we have a pool. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast. Yeah, it was good. I've been in some frigid waters with the kids, you know, trying to wear that dad badge, win some points, and just enjoy time with them. The first day we opened it, the kids got in the pool, and they're like, oh, man, this is freezing. And I'm like, oh, great. Okay, I'm going to jump in. So I jumped in. I swam as fast as possible to the stairs. I got out of the pool, and I put the towel around me. I'm like, I'm not going back in. It was the coldest water I have ever gotten into. Yep. And the next day, though, it was slightly warmer, and so we were able to kind of deal with it. But all to say, lots of fun. Played some fun yard games. I don't know if you've heard of the game Cube. It's a yard game where you throw blocks at
other
blocks.
Dude, I love that game.
It's super fun.
Super fun.
Super fun. You can make it at your house.
Did Wilkerson bring it?
The person who introduced me to it, we have it. Is okay. Seth Scott. Bring it to ACC get-togethers, and I was like, this game is great. Simple. Colb, have you heard of this game?
I have not heard of this game.
Oh, you would love it.
Oh, you would love it.
Is it because I'm a love square?
I won't even.
Nice.
Good self-put down. Good self-put down. Funny. But yes, that's pretty accurate. Yeah,
that's basically the reason. Just all kinds of good times. We went and got donut. There's a gas station that's walking distance from us, so it's a tradition in our home. Like during the summer months, usually almost every Saturday, we walk there and get donuts, chocolate milk, and so we did that with the Wilkersons.
That's awesome. I love family traditions, family rhythms. I love summer stuff. Me and my coworker right now are in a trying all of the cash only hot dog and hamburger places during the summer. So as spring is edging out and summer's kind of coming up, we've been going to cash only hot dog and hamburger places in the area that we're at, and we've been ranking them.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's very unofficial, but there's definitely a clear winner at this point. So not too many left. There's not that many cash-only places. And technically, one of them had just converted to accepting card, but they're the winner, so we're going to keep them in.
Now, why do you have a qualification that it's cash-only?
Really, we don't. But there's a lot of these places that started out and continued for a significant length of time. And they're like every time we go, there's been a couple that legit are cash-only, and they're just that really mom-and-pop shop place. That's been there since like the 40s. They were there, you know.
Right.
They were there when World War One broke out.
Right,
selling their hot dogs.
Wow, wow, wow.
But basically, I grew up in Greensboro, but my coworker grew up in the other, in the towns, High Point and Winston-Salem, where we service people, our clients. And so he knows all these joints. And he's like, hey, on these days that we're running around delivering stuff, like, we should go, we should hit up these places when we don't bring food. I was like, I like hot dogs and hamburgers. So that sounds like a deal.
Yeah.
He also loves tacos. So we eat a lot of tacos.
Those are three wonderful things.
Aren't they, though? They're really good.
They are.
They're very, very solid. And there's always good ones. Like, you can, in the United States of America, at least, there is always a good taco, burger, and hot dog place somewhere, if it's not, if it's an authentic American city. Full stop, period. I'm staking my name on that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the United States, you can find at least one good taco, hot dog, and hamburger.
This has now become a cultural podcast on the United States of America. Heck to the no. That would be terrible. I don't want to do that. Ooh, what flavor is that?
Key lime. So
just key lime.
Yes. Yeah, this brand keeps it pretty straight up. This isn't like AHA, where AHA does very well. Oh, they, I love the mix and matches. No, this this Aldi per Aqua brand, they just keep it straight up. Peach, yep. Key lime, your boy strawberry, black cherry, just some really good flavors.
Yep. Weren't you having a cool black cherry last week?
I was.
Yeah, he was.
Cole, what a great memory.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, if you haven't noticed before, Cole has a great memory.
Yep. He's the polar opposite of me, to be honest. My memory's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, every week, Chess keeps asking us our names. Who else do I have with me?
Yeah. It's us. Cole
was on a roll tonight. Cole was on a roll.
I'm on a roll and I'm not saying much.
Hey, that's the way to keep it consistent.
Just keep
hitting home runs with all your statements and
right.
It's a solid ball game right there. Yeah, that's good. Well, I don't think I've mentioned this to you guys yet, but I just had to shut the gate. So I was like, oh, I'm going to tell the guys on the podcast. Did I tell y'all that we got chickens, actually?
Wow.
Yeah, we got 13 chickens. We don't know for sure. So I didn't know this. We got the chicks from our friend, and you don't know till way later if it's a hen or a rooster. So when you get your chick, I mean, I'm sure there's a way to tell if you like, if you're buying them from somewhere, they probably can check like genetically, but just, if you're just getting them from a friend, you're not gonna be able to tell. I can't remember if that's because it develops a little bit later or if, I don't know what it is, but in any event, we don't know if we, how many hens or roosters we have at this point, because they're still adolescents and they're still growing out like all their stuff. And their plumage and all that good stuff. But we have 13 chickens.
Wow.
My very talented father built a coop, and it's called a run. That's where you like box in with chicken wire, keep all the hawks out and stuff, and then peck at all the grass. They have a big old run they can run around in. But they are on, not the chickens, my parents are on vacation, so I am taking care of the chickens this week.
Ah, the chicken man.
Chicken man. My daughter's love them. We had to specifically buy boots for Issa to run around the chicken coop because there's poop everywhere. Obviously, I don't want that in the house. Gross. No.
Yeah.
I already got their poop in the house. I don't want chicken poop in the house. Right. And so she'll just go in there. She'll just get her boots on and like, we'll open the gate and she'll go in by herself and just like chase these big old chickens around and scream at them and play with them and pet them and feed them. It's fun. It's pretty fun.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want some eggs, eventually, you know, I'll ship them up to you.
Yeah, send them our way.
Send them over.
Be from Japan, but
yeah. Oh, we can all open our boxes of eggs together.
Yeah. Oh, this is another dozen. What do you know? It's eggs. So fun.
Anyway, getting chickens is one of my wife's dreams.
Really?
It is.
They're actually way easier to take care of than you would think. Just FYI. So, Kim, if you're listening, just tell Cole that it's really not that difficult, and that you'll watch way more anime if you get chickens.
She stopped listening during the Mega Black series. So,
Kim is very disappointed in you.
She's missed a few.
She doesn't even listen to her own episode. Did she listen to her own episode?
I think so. That's a good point. I'll have to ask her.
You should ask her.
You should ask her.
Just tell her that every week we mention something about her, so she needs to listen to all of them and find that moment.
Ooh.
Now every week I'll have to mention something at the end of the podcast. Anyway.
Oh, maybe I'll help you out with that.
There you go. Just mention something about Kim. Just work it in.
Okay. So sourdough. we got this one done already. So no, sourdough again. Yeah, here we go.
Hilarious. I did receive some videos, both Kim and then from Kolb, of people trying the snacks that I had sent to you guys. And let me tell you, folks, they were not flattering videos. These people have no respect. No respect.
They really don't.
Just video. Of course, they're only videoing the people that didn't like the snack. Because there was one person in the video that they were like, I like this. I've eaten the whole bag. And everyone's like, ew, gross. What? You ate that whole thing? She's like, yeah, I liked it. Everyone ostracized her, which is very rude. But the majority of people didn't like them, which was really funny to watch.
Ben, did you like them?
The crackers?
Yes.
No.
I'm pretty sure Ben's text was, our whole family thinks these are gross.
Yeah, I probably... So one of them looked at it and was done. One of them smelled it and was done. And I think Anthony's the only one that... It was either Anthony or Nona actually tried it and was and had the face. And I was like, it's bad, isn't it? And they just nodded their head. And I'm like, you don't have to eat it. So then I tried it as well. So I didn't think it was awful, but I would never pick them out to eat willingly.
Yeah, unlike me, who would eat four bags in one sitting. Cole, you try your onigiri yet? Ben, the crackers, we all thought they were gross. Cole, my family didn't like them either. Ben, poke bears were good, though. Cole,
yes,
they are good. Period.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was the exact conversation.
We'll put that conversation in the comments as well.
Yeah. And the transcription of the show. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll screenshot it and put it. Oh, boys. Hilarious. Hilarious. Good stuff. Well, we have a fun little, it's almost like a bonus feature. This is fun. We watch the OVA. There's two OVA episodes, which we've talked about. Go listen to another episode of ours, listeners, all about anime phrases and different definitions and all this stuff. What is anime? Go listen to that one. But there's these two extra episodes that got released in February of this year from Moriarty. And we watched them, folks. We watched them. And we're going to give a little bonus chat about these two episodes and maybe how they might have affected our forecasts, predictions, feelings about how the show might progress, if it will progress in the future. But yeah, I mean, I'll start out by saying we watched these episodes, and very early on, you can tell these are going to be inconsequential. They are not going to affect the plot. They're very lighthearted, very, very lighthearted, chill episodes. I actually, spoiler, really liked them. I enjoyed them quite a bit. They were a nice casual watch with all these cast of characters that I've grown to love. The other thing, the first episode has the first arcs theme song. So it's clearly taking place at a point in time that is in the first set of episodes, episodes 1 through 13 or 14. And then the second episode had the second arc's theme song. So it's clearly taking place in the second part of the show, chronologically speaking. I'm sure that this is either leftover material from manga chapters that they didn't use, or I did not research this at all, or is just a lighthearted little dabble into. It was written well enough that I'm willing to bet that it came from source material, but it could have just been original work. Who knows? We'll never find out because the internet doesn't exist. So yeah, how did y'all feel about it? Did y'all enjoy the two episodes?
So you said you liked both of them. I enjoyed one of them, and I did not enjoy the other. And we'll get to which ones.
Let's guess.
That's what I was about
you
to
can
say.
Guess. Go ahead. Go ahead, guess.
Oh.
Which one did I like?
The I need first to or the second remind one? Myself. Because there was the painting one and then the house hosting thing, right?
Yeah,
right.
The tea party. This is tough a little bit. Because the serious one is the first one, quote unquote serious one, but it doesn't really go anywhere, and it doesn't have too much. There's not really a villain, per se. The second one embraces the humor of anime that Moriarty never really embraced. So I could see Cole liking either of these. I'm overthinking this. By
you really are.
It's okay.
I have my guess.
I do too.
Well,
okay. On the count of three, we're going to say it at the same time.
For the one that he liked, right?
Yep.
Okay, the one he liked was?
3, 2, 1.
The first one.
Where the team hosts everyone.
Nope, we are opposite.
All right, so I know which Cole? One. So which one did I not like?
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
The painting one where there was somebody setting him up and trying to figure out what motives were. All right.
So who was right?
Somebody had to be right.
One of you's right. One of you's right. I'll tell you that. I enjoyed the painting.
What a tease.
Yes.
I was right. So, wait, which one did you not enjoy?
I didn't like the tea party hosting one.
Dang it.
I went again.
Nice job, Chess. 2 for 2 on that one.
I just channeled my inner Kolb and I guessed 50-50.
Great job.
My reasoning? Can I get my reasoning real quick?
Oh, sure.
Because I felt like it was a good educated guess. I feel like, Kolb, you appreciate some good anime humor, and the idea of everything they were doing was pretty humorous. Whether you thought it was funny or not is obviously the big question. So I was like, I could see Kolb enjoying this.
Wow.
Because neither of them are consequential, as Jess said. But anyways, that was my reasoning for being wrong.
I get it. That's not a bad reasoning, Ben. I appreciate your thought.
Ben, did you enjoy the episodes or one or neither of them?
I actually did enjoy both of them, nice. Which is surprising me. I enjoyed them for what they were because I had low expectations.
Good way of putting it.
Yep.
That's a great way to go into it.
Yeah.
So low expectations for OVAs, just for some historical context, are not a bad way to approach an OVA because typically they're low stakes, they're inconsequential to the plot line, and they're typically less good in terms of quality. I will say these have been some of the better OVAs that I've watched in terms of what they revolve around, the characters they choose to portray, really didn't introduce new characters. That's a plus for me. They stuck to the same cast and did a little side adventure. Like even the first one, there's obviously new characters, but same way that there would have been new characters in a regular episode, not like, oh, here's a new main character. They're just like, hey, we're going to go solve a case. And they did. And then the second one is like, we're going to host a little tea party at the Moriarty Mansion. Wouldn't that to be fun? Ladies, all of them were ladies. I don't know how these tea parties work, but clearly there's one bachelor that hosts a million women, and that's what it is. So fascinating to watch that. But yeah, what did y'all think of the first one then, Colb obviously liked it. Ben obviously liked it. I obviously liked it. So let's go over there.
Hey.
What did you like about it?
We all liked it.
It we seemed all liked we it. Enjoyed it.
I got a question first. Are there hot springs in England?
That is a great question, which I have no answer to until I Google right now.
Someone looked that up because they imply that there is one in this episode. And I was like, whoa, that's volcanic hot spring in England. I mean, the town was called Bath. Mm. So,
yeah, I mean, it's in Bath. And okay, so Bath is a city, an unparished area in Bath. It's named after its... It's known for and named after its Roman-built baths.
Okay, but is there a hot spring underneath it?
Well, Roman-built baths were built over hot springs.
Okay.
As you would know if you watched the Netflix show that wife have been watching.
Don't watch that one.
So, a Roman bath are well-preserved thermae in the Roman baths are well-preserved thermae in the city of Bath, Somerset, England. A temple was constructed in the area. Let's see. They were... designed for public bathing, the area around the natural hot springs was redeveloped several times during the early and late Middle Ages. So, yes, there is a, it says, natural springs.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad. Be a hot spring, obviously.
I'm glad that it's real and that they didn't just make it up for the, like, a cultural thing with it being a Japanese manga, you know, story, anime story. So I'm glad it's real.
So the water is sourced from rainfall on the nearby Mendip Hills, where it then percolates down through the limestone aquifers to a depth of blah, 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 and then geothermal energy raises the water temperature. And under that pressure, it rises till it bubbles up into the baths. Bada bing.
Cool.
Science. But they called it an onsen. So you guys got to watch... an onsen moment, which was literally what I experienced. So the scene where they're sitting, like just chatting next to each other in the onsen.
Yeah.
That's literally me and my friend at the onsen chatting. Just butt naked chatting in the water.
Chat in the water. Putting your towel in a bucket and getting yelled at. I get it. Yeah.
Cultural offensive things by foreigners. Yeah. Yes. Check that off the box for my Japan trip.
Yep. Wouldn't be a good trip without it.
For an American, evidently not, because we cannot not put our foot in our mouths. But it was an accident, folks. I'm sorry. It's also gross. I get it. Yeah, so the basic thrust of this episode is pretty simple. Moriarty has a little interest in this certain case that's developing. So he goes to Bath. And then who does he find there? Sherlock has been recruited to solve a mystery. Bada boom. Throw them back together because this is set after the train episode. We find out as they have dinner.
After the train.
So they're like, ooh, we're becoming chums. Don't know what accent that was, but they're becoming buddies. And basically Moriarty asks to tag along, I believe. That's how he gets in on the case. Because Sherlock's been hired to figure out who's defacing these famous paintings. And Moriarty says, can I tag along on this? Because he has an interest because he knew the painter from the slums days. So he's trying to figure out as well. And then they go on a little adventure. It's pretty fun. Solve another mystery together sort of deal.
Yeah. They do. Right.
They do.
So I feel like we're not going to walk through this one scene by scene.
Nah.
The reason I liked this one was because it showed that Moriarty's justice wasn't always let's kill the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because this crime that was happening wasn't like, you know, capital punishment worthy. It was just like, let's get the guy who's doing it, but let's use the actual law this time. Because Albert jumps in saying like, this guy's a traitor to the crown by, you know, doing his whole thing with the weapons or whatever. But anyway, it wasn't like he got murdered. So it was good to see that Moriarty wasn't just, oh, let's just kill him. Let's just find this elaborate way to kill this bad guy. No, he let the law actually take care of this one. That's why I like this one, because it showed a different side of Moriarty that we've seen.
That's a good point.
Moriarty is also the one that solves the case because he brings everybody together with those slips of paper. Sherlock does not solve this case. So it's even more blatant than the train. Like, Sherlock doesn't really make progress. It's all about Moriarty in this one. So it's just like Moriarty doing everything, and then he plants these slips of paper for people, and then they come and find it. Sherlock's on the right track, but Moriarty's the one that figures it out like that. So I liked this one because it is another fun Sherlock-Moriarty interaction. And it actually gives a lot more context. Like, if this had been in the actual show, I don't think I would have minded it because it gives more context for, like, them becoming these frenemies in the show. And so I think it would have actually lended a lot more credence to the end of the show if this had been in the front half and you're like, oh, yeah, they kind of have been solving crime together and, like, becoming buddies. And then there's been these tensions, and then that's why Moriarty and Sherlock have this, like, big confrontation. But you don't really have that. There's, like, this one big moment on the train, and then it's like, oh, yeah, mutual colleague respect. And then it's like, no, we're blood brothers now. And you're like, that's okay. I'll run with it. But I did like this episode because it kind of gives weight to that. It gives weight to that, like, no, you were two geniuses that have nobody that understands them, and we're friends because of it. Scooby-Doo, what you got?
Is that me or Colb?
that's you. Because you've got cool, like, 60s, 70s, yeah. 70s glasses.
Those are pretty cool. I kind of want to get a pair for myself now.
Those safety glasses?
Yeah. I don't think you can ever be too safe. has always been my motto.
They're either safety glasses or probably, like, a youth baseball glasses. That'd be my guess.
You're asking me if they're youth
baseball? No, I'm just telling you objectively what I would think they would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did tell you that is exactly what they are.
We don't have any record of that on air, so I just sound like a genius. I just want to be
amazing.
Just a genius.
So one thing I have thought about with this show and these two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think this is one reason why I kind of like the second OVA when I normally wouldn't like something like that, is because my favorite thing about this show, I like Sherlock more than Moriarty, but my favorite thing about this entire show was the team. Moriarty's team. I really, really liked it. Like, in those beginning episodes, I think you remember when I was getting a little giddy seeing all the boys get together and the shot of all the team together. I'm like, oh, it's a squad. This is great. Because normally what steals the show in the Sherlock Holmes stories is the Sherlock and Watson, John Watson combo, which they did have good moments, but they by no means stole the show, at least for me. They were a good part of the story. They did have some good moments. Sherlock obviously did quite a bit for his boy John there. But for me, my favorite part of this show was Moriarty and the team. Just loved it. I thought that was great. So it made their team come out in a funny way in an episode that didn't mean anything. So yeah. That actually allowed me to enjoy it a little bit more.
It is funny because this episode for the viewers, flyby overview, is even simpler of a concept. Basically, in the aristocrat circles, you have to throw tea parties. And so the Moriarty brothers have been dodging this because they have too many secrets on their property. But they finally get pinned down. Good old Albert gets stuck at a party and they say, you gotta host a party, Albert. He says, well, I guess I gotta do it then. And he invites everybody, and everybody means all the single ladies,
All the single ladies?
All the single ladies. They show up at the Moriarty estate. Yeah. I mean, they did multiple times. But they all show up at the Moriarty estate. And everybody takes it super seriously because there's a lot of secrets on the Moriarty estate. And they really get into this, even what's his name? Jack the Ripper. He is like, it's a battlefield. And Fred like shivers a bit. And he's like, oh my gosh, it's so intense. and they're all like, this is high stakes. And so they treat it with the same level as a regular mission. But then obviously it's just kind of goofy. There's multiple moments where like Moriarty himself is pinned down by like these pining women. And they just turn their back on him and like, nope, can't help you. Sorry. And they just leave. Those moments made me laugh the most, actually. I laughed out loud at those.
Yeah.
Did y'all offhand, I actually had to look him up. I could not remember him. Did y'all remember immediately who the blindfolded guy was in the basement?
Yes.
No.
Cole's memory is flawless, so of course he did. Ben didn't. I did not either. Cole, who was he?
He was like the inventor guy on the team. He's the one who created the gun that the colonel uses. It's like this weird sniper rifle, but that doesn't kill people. Yep. Isn't that right? Remember that scene? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was that
he
guy.
Likes to see it tested in the field.
He was my favorite part of the episode, actually, because he's like Moriarty gives him little puzzles to do to keep him out of the way.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
I didn't either. I had to go look him up.
It was like towards the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it was in the front half of the show. I think he's only in one episode.
I think it's just one. Yeah, that one.
It's episode. In the Whitechapels episode. One of those two. I think it's the second one. You remember when Fred dresses up like Moriarty and he's running around? Sorry, Jack the Ripper, and he's running around.
Yeah,
letting people. It's that episode.
Oh,
that's also the episode where they like shoot a bullet at a quarter and it goes in a cannon.
Yeah.
That's the scene that he's in.
Oh, wow. I still don't picture that guy, but I remember that.
He just stands behind the colonel and says like two lines.
He can't picture you either.
Because he's blind.
Wow.
Good one, Chess. Yeah,
because he's blind. I actually looked him up, and I didn't realize he was blind, and that makes sense. Because it says he always wears a blindfold, and I was like, that's quirky. And I was like, he's a blind, inventor. That makes sense. He was a great addition. I loved having him down in the basement fiddling with these puzzles. I loved how much all of the guys, were having to do their roles, and then they just, stuck. I don't know what this line meant, but they just stuck Lewis in the kitchen, and they're like, "Yeah, it's a good job putting him in there. We couldn't have him get female attention." And I'm like, "What the heck does that mean? Is he the most likely to get a girlfriend? Is that what y'all are saying?" But it was
wasn't sure.
It was a great moment.
What that emphasis was either.
Yeah, they couldn't let women anywhere near Lewis.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do you do? Man's a blonde charmer. So. Yeah, but I mean, the whole episode is literally just women trying to convince these handsome men that they're eligible bachelorettes for these eligible bachelors. That's it. That's the plot.
That's it.
They survive the tea party and everything's fine. Yeah. Still very confused about Bond. Bond is clearly fully engaged in society as a man, so I guess that's just how it is. Everybody thinks Bond is a man, so
yeah, that's the role. Because what was the initial reason? Because didn't they ask that of her?
What's her real name?
Irene Adler.
Irene Adler has to die. She had to die.
That's right.
So they killed her, and she became Bond.
New identity. Got it.
Why did she have to die again?
I don't remember.
I don't
the
remember
treason,
either.
Right?
Oh yes, she stole treasonous papers.
Oh,
real bad stuff.
So she has to be like, in. Okay, so it's like if she wants to live, she has to stay as Bond.
Yeah, technically, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
All right, that makes some more sense.
Yeah, I think she's got to keep it going.
She obviously keep does.
She does.
She embraces the role.
Yeah. Well, you know, when in Rome,
go to Bath. The baths. She could not go to the hot spring because that would reveal it pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
Be it tough would. To fake that.
Yeah. A real Mulan after the surgery kind of thing.
Yep. What a callback.
What a callback.
Is that a callback? We haven't talked Disney about years. Mulan.
Just a classic Disney.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of classic Disney years, we watched Homeward Bound as a family for the first time.
Really? Oh, I've been wanting to introduce the kids to that. Did they enjoy it?
My 2-year-old and 1-year-old loved it. My 1-year-old really, like every time an animal came on the screen, which is all the time, she just would babble and loved it. They also watched the Air Buddies movies, which is not as good as Homeward Bound.
Terrible?
Ooh, it's rough, but it's kind of rough in the, like, at least it's kind of kiddish rough. Like, okay, I can tolerate this. What were we trying to watch? We tried to watch something and I was like, no, just turn this off. This is horrid. It's like pup pals. It was clearly like a really little kid show. And I just like, I looked at Powell and was like, turn it off. Turn
puppy off. Dog pals.
Yes.
Yep,
I can't take that. Show. I can't take that one. It's too rough. They break out in the song in the middle of it for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
They parodied the Beach Boys. It's pretty rough, actually.
Callback.
Callback.
So yeah, how did Homeward Bound. How did your girls feel about that sassy in the river scene? That always freaked me out as a kid.
Ooh.
Like, I hated that scene.
Yeah, yeah. No, they... they did fine, actually.
Really? Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. They did really good with that whole movie, I'm pretty sure. Issa's never been scared of, like, animal things. Like, Ursula, that would terrify her. We skip over, like, witch and, like, creepy, like, old people. Like, that sort of stuff. But, yeah, she didn't get freaked out. They just watched Homeward Bound 2. That one has mean dogs in it. In San Francisco.
It's San Francisco.
And Shadow goes and saves a kid in a fire? Crazy.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, her grandpa's a fireman, so we usually take her to watch the fires when they're happening. So, you know.
Right.
No, we don't. We don't do that.
Sorry. Thought I muted.
You thought you muted and coughed into your mic. Anyway. Homeward Bound, super fun. Holds up like a champ.
Oh,
like a champ.
I
want
to watch that again. Remember when Chance gets hit by the porcupine?
Oof, that is rough.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. Isn't the dad in Homeward Bound the main character in Airplane?
Yes, that's okay. Where I've seen him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, I was like, where have I seen
this striker?
Dude? And it's the main character in Airplane.
Well, I have to look this up.
Oh God. Yeah.
I forgot the actor's name. I should know it, but he's great.
Were there a lot of moments like that where you're like, oh my gosh, she was in this or what?
There was the blow up pilot. He's in Homeward Bound.
wow.
No,
I didn't know Michael J. Fox was Chance. Huh.
Yeah.
No, really?
Sally Field is the cat, Sassy, and... who's the shadow? I forget.
He's an old classic sounding man.
That's true.
It's like, it literally sounds like it could be Robert Redford.
Oh, I thought it was Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
I don't think it is though.
Chance.
No, I'm looking it up right now and I can tell you it's not.
It's cool, but
Don Ameche.
Don Ameche.
Oh.
Home on the Range. I will say, though, both of them hold up. Although the first one's way better, obviously.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, obviously, yeah.
The Four Deceivers. Yep, Michael J. Fox. Wow. Crazy. Huh.
Crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he looks classy. Don Ameche.
Right? He is the classiest picture of them all.
Pencil mustache, black and white photos.
Right, yeah. Who doesn't belong?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Good times.
Sally Field.
Good times. Yeah, I'll have to get the... Right now, we're going through the Star Wars movies for the first time because they've watched a little bit of animated. So we've watched all the prequels. We've watched half of New Hope, and we'll watch the second half tomorrow night. So they're really enjoying them, which I'm very happy that they don't... like. Because I was thinking they'll probably just like the newer type ones because they're used to newer technology. But no, no. They're loving New Hope so far. So,
and by newer ones, did you mean the newest trilogy?
I include the prequels in, quote, newer, too, just because that's, what, 30 years after the originals.
That's true. But, I mean, so, those are old now. Those are like 20-something
years old. True. It's true. It's true.
Oh, those are before we were born.
No.
Just kidding.
Maybe you.
It's a good thing they don't. Good thing they don't take after Uncle Kolb, who is such a Star Wars hater.
It's true. Actually, no, that's not true. Ben, are you watching chronologically, or are you watching year of release?
Chronologically.
So you started with episode one, and you went to episode two?
Yeah.
And yeah. You're one of those guys. Okay. You're one of those
guys. What's the really weird?
You're one of those true Star Wars fans, I guess, because I'm not a true Star Wars fan.
It's like called machete style. There's like a bizarre way of watching these. You watch like one and two, and then you watch four and five, where you see the reveal without it being spoiled that it's Anakin Skywalker, and then you watch three. And then you watch six.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a.
Yeah, I'll do that in my next life with my children.
That sounds good. Yeah, make sure it's not spoiled. Cole could do it because he's never seen him before because he's lame. Cole, I bet you didn't know that if you watched all of Star Wars, you would actually unlock a secret Lord of the Rings movie that Peter Jackson made.
You know?
It gets mailed to you.
I believe you
watch them all. Yeah.
Because I already got it. It's on my shelf over there.
Got owned by Cole. Wow, what an episode this has been. There's like 10% Moriarty and majority has been filler content. It's great. I love it.
This used to be our normal recording time. Can you believe that?
That's true. 45.
And we've added 20 minutes of fluff.
I know. If we had taken out all the fluff, we would have had a 25-minute episode. Yeah, but it was good. I mean, we were expecting what we got out of these episodes, which was just kind of nice, simple, extra little bonus content. You know, one for the kids. All that good stuff. But last question I'm going to ask. With how these episodes played out being purely fluff, I don't mean that derogatorily, just no plot content added. Does that change how you feel about if they're going to make more or what they might do if they make more? Or does it leave it the same, your emotions from last week?
For me, it's the same. Knowing that these are nothing really, I mean... Even the small little glimpse of Moriarty's character from the first episode where you added just a little bit, just that little, you know, he doesn't always kill his, not victims, but the bad guys. It added just a little bit, which is more than I could ask for. So it definitely didn't go down.
Nice. Ben?
Yeah, for me, it's the same. My opinion of the show didn't change. I don't really, for me, it's if it's a movie, if it's over, if it's anything, I don't allow that to dictate my rankings or feelings on the show. To me, it's just, so I should say, only if it's incredible. Right. But I won't let it bring it down. Yep. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, same. I didn't expect much. If there had been some crazy plot reveal of like, oh, this is actually set after, and it's actually two episodes set after, then that would have obviously probably pushed it for me, because I'm like, oh, this is, I should include this. This is part of the plot now. But it wasn't. And so I would say it didn't affect my rankings, but it also, it probably actually did raise my enjoyment a little bit. Like, I would actually say, if you're going to watch the show, go watch these two episodes. They're fun. Because if you make it all the way to the end of Moriarty, you probably enjoyed the show. So you should just watch these two episodes as well. Like every American town, they're what you need after you watch Moriarty.
Huh.
Huh. What a callback. Oh, Chest. What are we going to do with this guy?
Anyway. Excuse me. Well, it's been a blast. We have reached the end of our Moriarty journey for now, as far as we know. Mm. And yeah, really, really, whoever suggested this one was just a genius. Probably on the level of Moriarty and Sherlock. So, you know. Glad that they did.
So, Chess, what are we listening or watching next?
Well, great question, Cole. Next week, I'm excited to say, is going to be the release of our My Hero Academia episode.
No.
Yep. Next week is, well, you know, obviously anything could happen. But as of 5 seconds ago, that was the plan. So probably still going to be the plan.
It has to be now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We've said it.
Did we record it yet?
We have. Well, now who's having the memory problems? Because we haven't, actually. We need to. No, we did. We already recorded that one. Come on, Ben. How dare you? No, we did. We recorded that one a little while ago, and I'm very excited for that one to release. Been looking forward to listening to that one again. Be good. I like one-off episodes, because they usually are, they could be a little bit longer, but they encapsulate a lot of emotion and fun stuff in them, so it's good. So yeah, tune in next week for some My Hero Academia, where we go through the whole show up until this point. What will we talk about there?
A 6-hour episode.
Yeah, 1 hour per season. Ooh. Oh, plus tack on an hour for like intro and feelings about the show and rankings. Yeah, so 7 hours. 7 hour episode. Can you imagine? God, that would be horrible.
We could do it. I mean, besides being up that late, we could definitely do that.
Like if we went out to Ohio again just to record, we could do an 8-hour episode. We would do it. We'd be just insane enough to do it. And then I would break it up.
Play HeroScape.
While we did it.
We would just play HeroScape again.
Yeah, you're right. We wouldn't record once.
We would play My HeroScape.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Nice.
I gotcha. You mixed them together. That's so cute. I love it. That's so good. Good stuff. Well, on that high note.
This has been a good episode for you.
Yeah, it has. Cole, I'm gonna have to put that in the description. Cole really had some home runs in the humor department. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. It's been a fun evening for us, and it'll be a fun whatever time it is for y'all when you listen, I hope. And we'll see you next week on Three Dads Talking About Anime.
What do you get when you add 2 + 1?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when three guys love anime?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when three guys start having kids, become married, and each have kids separately, went on separate ways.
What happens?
So
you get three dads talking about anime.
Three dads talking about anime.